In 1950s, women, girls got out of high school and they immediately got married. The guy went to work at Esso or Sparrows Point or somewhere. You had children, and that was the rest of your life, like it or not. And a lot of us didn't. I didn't. And the result of my marriage was a daughter. And I knew that that wasn't cut out for me. So I went home, and I had to go to work, of course, then. And I went to work at Eastern Venetian Blind Company, where I met Jan Morrison. And that's where my story actually starts. Jan was, she sang and played guitar. She was very butchy looking, you know, short haircut and all that. And I thought, wow, that's me, you know. So I played a little guitar also, and we got together lunchtime one day, and we sounded pretty good. And then Jan says, well, how about if we start a band? And I said, well, that's a good idea. I could use the extra bucks. So we did. We picked up a male lead guitar player because women didn't play. We weren't even allowed to play lead guitar at that time. And so we had this guy, and we got together, and we started playing at a place on Fleet in Washington called Mary's. And we started drawing crowd, pretty good crowds. I had to cut my hair off by then. I wanted to be like Jan. Anyway, I didn't know she had a bad reputation, or I wouldn't have done that. But yeah. But anyway, we started there. We started drawing a pretty good crowd, and I noticed these girls coming in, and they're, you know, dressed pretty nice, and they're going in the ladies' room, and they're coming out in slacks and a shirt, and they're hair slicked back, and I thought, what the hell's going on, you know? So it's getting more and more like that, and the more, you know, popular we got, the more of these women we were drawing. So I asked one of them one day, what are you doing? What is this? And they said what they had to do is put their dress clothes on to go out and put their butch clothes on when they got down the bar. And they'd go in and change into their clothes and come out, and they had a good time for the rest of the night. And then at the end of the night, they reversed that so that they could go home. You wouldn't be caught on the street like that, you know. Anyway, so we were drawing more and more, but also word was getting around to the straights. And they were coming in. A lot of guys were coming in, and they tried to dance with the girls, and they were grabbing them. And before long, a fight would start. Well, Jan got beat so bad one night, and she got arrested, you know, for defending herself, I guess. I don't know. But I had to go get her out of jail and take her to the hospital. She had so many broken ribs, and her face was busted up. This was an ongoing thing. And so it never stopped, actually. We moved to different places, play in different places, and what happened with the guys that played lead, they couldn't put a make on the girls because it wasn't going to happen. So they would leave. And so one time Jan said to me, well, let's ask this girl, Edie Lippincott, that comes in. And she said she can play drums. I said, fine, because if she plays drums, she can definitely cover up all the mistakes I'm obviously going to have. You know? And I did. And so we started, then we had the three girls, and Edie named us the Rocket Jets, Jan and the Rocket Jets. And so we played lots of places, like I said, and we were down at the Dead End playing down there one night, and the Vice Squad came in quite frequently, and they would check the water in the sinks where they were washing their glasses and check everybody's identity, make sure you were 21. And they never found anything. Police were a different story. They would come in, and they had some kind of a, I don't know whether it was real or it was the law, but you had to have three pieces of women's clothing on. And they would say, yeah, really, think about it. If you're dressed up all butch, you only have two pieces of women's clothing on. That's why I think they made it up. But here's this one girl. She got a little mouthy, and one of the cops go wham across her breast, you know. And He said, "Oh, I didn't know you were a woman. I thought you were a man." Big excuse, but. And then he tore open her blouse to see if she had a bra on. But we had a lot of that going on, and then things kind of calmed down, and we played. You couldn't throw a stone in Fell's Point that we didn't work there. And so Edie was not a well person. She was very ill, very thin and very ill. And so we had to do something when she wasn't there, left us in a bind. Well, this other girl was coming in, Carla Manley, and we knew that her parents were both entertainers. Her mother was a singer, and her father was a drummer. And so we figured she's got to have some kind of talent. So she sat in for Edie one night. She did wonderful. It was really good. We knew we were going to bond. And as we played in later years, she wound up taking over Edie's spot when Edie got 2 weeks to work. But we took a job down at Pepper Hill. It was up on Gay and obviously Gay Street. What else, you know? So it was on Gay and Falls Way. And just before we went to work there, they had a big raid and took everybody in. That was before us. It was a guy's bar. And there was a lot of, you know, gay bars for guys, but not for women until we started them. And so we went to work there, and we it was pretty good for a while. But we feel that we did start a lot of places for the female girls to go and enjoy a night of music and fun. And I guess that's not too bad for a few old ladies. But... But actually, we didn't do too bad when you think back about it anyway. We did get inducted into Maryland's Country Hall of Fame and Maryland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's pretty darn good. I'm pretty proud of that. But now Edie and Jan are both passed away. There's only Carla and myself. Carla's here up in the audience up there. She, you know, it's not right. She's still good looking. I don't understand that. Anyway, I thank you very, very much for your time.